The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio,
is about to commence.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yeah, it's hump day. Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, 7:08 in the morning on April the 1st. Eldon is joining me today. Better watch out, Eldon. It's April Fool's Day. Of course, and you've been playing baseball for Simpson, so you're all aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 530-605-4567 is our phone number. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Carl and Linda Bott. Now, Linda is on day three of spring break. Linda and spring break yesterday. And I think you probably be checking out on Facebook. Linda got her hair cut. Got her hair cut short, not just a little bit short. No, not short like the Carl Bott haircut that we're used to. But it looks great. So she comes home, she goes, you know, I guess, you know, I don't realize that women, when they get their hair cut, and even though we've talked about it for, gosh, weeks, they still, you know, they're just not sure when they walk through the door. But it looks great. It absolutely does. It changes her appearance. She's already beautiful. So just, you know, it's great. Hey. Good morning. Weather today, right now it's 49 degrees, and today mostly sunny with a high near 87. I'm sorry, a high near 67. North winds 9 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight partly cloudy with a low around 46. Thursday, sunny with a high near 70. Thursday night mostly clear. Friday, Saturday, and – well, Friday and Saturday are both sunny and clear, and 71, so it's not going to be getting real hot here. It's going to be great weather. And then Saturday night, a slight chance of rain. Mostly cloudy with a low around 43. It's great when you walk outside in the morning and it's in the 40s the way it is now. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. It's a veteran-owned business, and it gives they give discounts to seniors and veterans. 365-3793. This weekend, April the 4th, will be the third annual Winnie and Roses Spring Gala down at Fusero Hall. It's a charity benefit for Safe Haven Horse Rescue. And this is a non-kill horse rescue run by volunteers and donations. You can get your tickets today at Mary's Pizza Shack in both Reading and Anderson, the Boot Barn in Anderson Outlets, Western Unique in Shabby Cheek on Gas Point Road, and the loft inside Reynolds Ranch and Farm Supply on Madison Street in Red Bluff. Good thing to it's going to be a prime rib dinner prepared by the Anderson Rotary. Full bar, music, door prizes, raffles, silent and live auctions. All this at Fusero Hall at the District Fairgrounds. Doors open at 5 p.m. Dinner served at 6. Remember, all the proceeds go to the saving of horses, the Safe Haven Horse Rescue. Third annual Winnie and Roses. Nice people there. I think doing a lot of good work. Good morning. Today we're going to have, it's just a complete group, different groups of people. They should be arriving anywhere from Stop the Genocide, talking about wars in Darfur. Simpson University in a big spring gala they have going. And 8 o'clock, Senator Maurice Johannesson. The last time the senator came in here, he was fired up. He came rolling through the door and just, you know, and turned the guns loose about some of the things that are being said or talking about in our politics around here. So we're looking forward to this, to having the senator in and give us some ideas about what he thinks about what's going on, especially what's happened in the debacle that the state government has produced up at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. All of this is going on today. So now, things that are happening just around here, the quarry battle. There's a quarry. No, they want to build a quarry, an 1,850-acre project out at Mountain Gate. And the battle has begun. The Mountain Gate residents and others have been writing letters. In fact, over 300 letters have been sent to the planners. And each one of these have to be individually addressed and answered. And after that, they have to go through and talk about the environmental impact statement before it can go to the Shasta County Planning Board, and then into the Board of Supervisors, who have to vote to let this thing go forward or to kill it. There are a lot of hurdles here, but the people that are proponents of the quarry say this is going to be lots of jobs. This is out there. It's not going to impact on people. Of course, the people out in Mountain Lake are saying just the opposite. They're already talking about a referendum to have people, initiative to have people vote on it, much like they did for the Churn Creek fiasco when the company came in to build a shopping center over at the Churn Creek bottom. And the Board of Supervisors voted 5-0 twice to build it there. And the people revolted and voted against it by like 77%. Against putting it there. It was a huge, huge defeat for building anything down in Churn Creek Bottom. And it shows the power of people. If you get the people riled and it starts rolling, you might as well hang it up, politicians, because they're going to change anything you vote for. And in this one, I think the Board of Supervisors are kind of keeping an eye cocked there at Mountain Gate and wondering about how much power can these guys get, how much sway are they going to have with the voters when you're talking about a plant that's out there north of Shasta, city of Shasta Lake, or Shasta Dam, yeah, city of Shasta Lake, and west of the freeway. So these things they're talking about, but it's going to be interesting to follow this fight too, because I can just tell you right now that if they do vote for it, they're going to go for the initiative to have it shut down. Record Searchlight joins a new company. They join a company called the Journal Media Group. They even cut loose from Scripps Howard, cut loose all their newspapers. And this Journal Media Group consists of about 14 papers in different states, California, Tennessee, Texas, other places. I talked to Carol Ferguson, who is the managing editor of the Record Searchlight, and she says it's going to be mainly transparent. Most of the people are staying. The main players are staying. It's not going to be hardly any difference that you're going to see. However, that seeing what Lyons has written is that this company is really into the cutting edge of newspapers and how they're going to do it. But we'll see. We'll see what the changes are. We'll see how they're going to do it. See if there's going to be a change in Record Searchlight. One big change, however, has been at the comments that all the people in the blogs could put down, all those little comment sections, little nasty comments or very smart comments or, assassination attempts, all these things that are in these blogs now have to go on to Facebook because they lost the group of people that kept, the company that had the, that kept the blogs warm like that. And the comment section has gone out of business or is no longer doing business with Record Searchlight. So now, if you want to make comments, it goes on to Facebook, onto the Record Searchlight Facebook page, which then says, you've got to establish an identity. Well, a lot of people say, I'm not going to do that because, then people will know who I am. Well, that's half the fun of the commenting, it seems like, for a lot of these jerks, is that they can say nasty things to people they would never say to their face. Because they're anonymous and they can say these nasty things because then they can walk around saying, you're doing business with me and I think you're a jerk. And I've said it in print. And, even if it's true or not, that's the best part. Even if it's true or not, if it's just a hatchet attack or a knife attack, they can do that. Well, now maybe with the Facebook, it might make it harder for them. And I noticed that a lot of them say, "Well, I'm dropping my subscription. That's the only reason I'm doing it, so I can say nasty things to people and be anonymous." We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry on Hilltop, right across from Sierra Gibbs, has got it all. If you want jewelry of the finest water, you might say, of the finest clarity in your diamonds of everything that is just something that you would be proud of to buy and to present to people or just buy for yourself. It's all there at 2225 Hilltop Drive with Leonard and his associates. He's always got a sale going on in there. You can always get the straight scoop from Leonard at Four Winds Jewelry. The only trained watch repairman in the whole area is there at Four Winds Jewelry. So if you've got a watch that needs repairing, instead of taking it to another place, which by the time it ends up, it'll be at Four Winds Jewelry, skip all the middlemen, go straight there, have that watch repaired. Anything that you could possibly think of in jewelry, Leonard either has it or can get it for you. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs. Give them a call at 222-2750, open Monday through Friday. We'll be right back.
Talk about putting the extreme in extreme sports. April 17th, 18th, and 19th, the Red Bluff Roundup is on. I mean, when you got a rodeo that's both PRCA and WPRA approved, you award world champion points, and you pay the highest purse, and I guarantee you that brings to Red Bluff the top cowboys in America to ride the rankest stock anywhere. A Friday night is Tri-County's Bank Family Night. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank. Together we'll go far. And Red Bluff Dodge Day. And Sunday, it's St. Elizabeth Hospital in Haleakala Ranch, tough enough to wear pink day. Get your discount tickets now at the Roundup office, RedBluffRoundup.com, or Diamond W Western Wear in Chico. Hey, don't miss the concert after the rodeo Saturday night. Share thanks to Diamond W Productions. It's Chris Cagle in concert. Oh, yeah. The Red Bluff Roundup is on.
Shopping local, staying local, builds a community.
Downtown Reading is the place to be. Stylish shops, trendy boutiques, fabulous food, and a whole lot of history. Shop local and support these amazing business owners. By shopping local, you help your community thrive. So what do you say? Let's meet downtown. Unique stores and more in beautiful downtown Reading.
Step away from the keyboard. Shop local in downtown Reading. VDRBA.org.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Call 243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
Oh no, dirty carpets! So I call Preferred Carpet Care. You know they've been voted the best of the North State, and now my carpets look like new. Preferred Carpet Care. Clean, efficient, and professional. I love the way my carpets look. Remember the number.
243-8400.
Hey, this is Carl Bott here to tell you about the good folks at Muse Concrete. Boyce and Joan Muse, along with their fantastic crew, have been bringing homes, parks, stadiums, and so much more to the Reading community for over three decades. Muse Concrete is also proud to bring exciting programs like Destination North State, high school football, and Reading Colt 45's baseball to the airwaves right here on KCNR 1460. Muse Concrete, an uncompromising commitment to quality and integrity since 1982. Check them out online, museconcrete.com. Great people doing great work.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Barr. Linda, of course, is on a spring break. It is 7:21 in the morning here on April the 1st. 49 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. Well, it's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And I have my guests today are Kimberly Carlson and Marv Steinberg. They're here with Genocide No More and Save Darfur. And I'm going to start off with Kimberly because she's the one that grabbed me the other day and said, you know, we need to come on. So
yes,
let's talk about this. Tell us about what this is.
On Friday, April 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Cascade Theater, we're having an awareness and a fundraiser for Darfur and South Sudan. We're going to show the fantastic movie, The Good Lie. It is about a true story based on the lost boys and girls of Sudan who came to America. And what makes this event extra special is one of the Sudanese actors from the film is going to be at the Cascade for a question and answer session. Her name is Kuth Will. She's a lovely young woman who plays one of the sisters in the movie.
Okay. The people from Darfur, Marv, you know, a lot of people, I mean, for decades, has it been decades we've been hearing Save Darfur?
It's been decades. In fact, it's been well over 10 years. Mainly around 2003 is when the government of Sudan really cracked down on the people of Darfur. And since then, hundreds of thousands have been killed and millions displaced, still living in camps.
Is this a religious thing?
It's not.
Because
so,
it's Christian Muslims in there.
Well,
right?
The South Sudan is a Christian Muslim thing.
Okay.
But not Darfur. Darfur is Muslim against Muslim.
Okay. Shiite against Sunni?
No, not so much that.
Not even that.
It's more based on light-skinned versus dark-skinned and farmer versus
urbanite?
Herder.
Oh,
that
farmer
sort of thing.
Versus herder. Okay, somebody that stays and works the land and somebody that is a nomad.
Yeah.
So who's taking the brunt of this?
Taking the brunt of it are the people of Darfur. The innocent villagers where the government of Sudan comes in with their Antonov bombers and helicopters, clears the way for mercenary Janjaweed soldiers to come in, pillage the villages and kill the men, and, of course, the women and children are left to flee.
Well, you know, this is what can we do? Or what is the world trying to do to stop this?
Right now, the world is not doing much of anything. The president of Sudan has been condemned, has been indicted by the ICC for crimes against humanity and genocide, yet the world doesn't seem to be able to do much more than indict and talk, and that's about it.
Okay. Well, so the United States is not taking a lead in this at all?
The United States has not been doing much at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. We've said words, we've called it a genocide, but then we've sat by and really not chosen to get involved.
Does the United States still give money to the Sudan, you know?
The United States has applied sanctions. It has labeled the government of Sudan as a terrorist regime, has condemned its ties to terrorism.
All right, so they've laid some pretty heavy charges down on these guys.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. What can something like going to this movie do for something like this, Kimberly?
Well, I think for us is to to have awareness that what is going on. And not in a sense of without hope. We really try to bring hope to people. And I think in our Genocide No More group, we really try to write letters to our leaders and just to keep it up on our leaders' minds. And even in our group, we have personally touched families in Sudan. We've written letters. We have given money. And one family in particular, Adam, was a school teacher, and we have a strong relationship with him, and we have managed to get money to him and his children so that they can survive.
Well, there's been a number of, like, movie stars and celebrities that have gone on record for, you know, with different types of fundraising and to raise awareness about what's happening there in the genocide. How many people did you say have been killed here in the last?
There have been several
years?
Hundred thousand. UN counts are 300,000, but others place it at much higher than that.
Starvation, and all types of different things.
Yeah, they even poison the wells so the people can't return to their villages. You mentioned movie stars. One of the beneficiaries of the Benefit Friday is the Enough Project. George Clooney's been closely identified with that, has put up a lot of money for a satellite sentinel system, which is able to pinpoint the atrocities. Another beneficiary is Sudan Unlimited, and Esther Sprague out of San Francisco founded this group. They raised money to further the education of some of these lost boys and lost girls, so that they can go back to South Sudan and then make a difference for their country. And that's the kind of thing we're interested mm-hmm. in, is long-term solutions coming from within the community rather than someone like our government stepping in and doing things.
All right. Now, Friday, Cascade Theater.
Yes.
And what time?
It's at 7 p.m.
And how much does it cost?
It's $10 for adults, $5 for children and students.
Okay, and the proceeds are going to go to?
The Enough Project and Sudan Unlimited.
All right. And just a lot of those ways is some people who think that life is tough over here because we have to cut back on our water to a 10-minute shower a day. Need to take a look at what happens in Sudan and places like Sudan, Darfur, and Somalia and these other places where they get water from a quarter-inch pipe that's rusty. And it's amazing how people have no concept of what's going on in this world. When you over in those places and you have the opportunity to go from one horrible place to another, then you realize, oh my gosh, the last place wasn't that bad as that sounds. But this is a way at least to raise awareness of what's going on.
Correct.
Anybody that they can call for more information?
You can always call
me. 229-3661.
And Kimberly, 243-9318.
Well, great. This is Genocide No More, Save Darfur. Thank you so much, Kimberly Ed, Carlson and Marv Steinberg, for coming
today. Thank you very much.
Good luck on your shows here.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I keep that?
You bet.
All right. So I can talk about it again tomorrow. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
For a tax professional that truly understands taxes and can review your investments to help lower your tax bill, call Tom Wood, Certified Financial Planner with the Advice Center. Tom specializes in tax preparation for businesses and investors. Whether you have a business and want to lower your tax liabilities, or are an investor that would like to lower the taxes you pay on your investments, you want an experienced, compassionate advisor like Tom Wood at the Advice Center. Call Tom at 244-7526 for top quality tax preparation, or this month, Tom's offering a free investment review to see if your investments are tax efficient. Call 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. For experienced tax preparation, a free investment review, or any of your tax, financial, or insurance needs, call 244-PLAN or go to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
That'll help you keep up with technology.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. With Carl and Linda Bott, it is 7:31 in the morning, 49 degrees. Linda's on spring break. It's cool. She's out there planting today. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked a top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row. Why? It's because they treat people well. That's right. Shasta Regional Medical Center knows that medical care can change lives, but treating people can change their lives. Treating people well. Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here with our Sensum University, Paños, as we say in the Marine Corps, Martha McCoy and Roger Janis. There's a lot of stuff heading out this the next couple of weeks here, isn't there, Roger?
There is a lot going on.
Would you like Martha to talk about it?
I'd love to have Martha chat a little bit about our upcoming World Serve Spring Scholarship Banquet.
There you
Good
go. Morning. Come on.
Good morning,
Martha.
Carl. We have our Spring Banquet coming up on Thursday, April 16th, and it is a fundraiser for our Student Scholarship Fund. So the theme is World Serve, which is celebrating our student mission teams. We have students going out, about 85 students going out this year to countries all over the world during the summer. And then in spring, during spring break, we had students give up their spring break for service in Chicago, Oakland, and Olympia, Washington.
Other kind of inner city parts there. We had a show, yes, in fact, based on World Serve.
Yes.
And the things they were doing. It's a great things that y'all are doing. Your students are giving up their times, their summers, to go out and help people.
They are.
That's what they do just here in town.
Yes, so, yeah, they do through our strike teams. And then this summer, for example, we have a student team of nurses going out to India to serve in a hospital. So we have students
going
all over.
That'll be an eye-opener if they've never been there before.
Yes, it will.
That's right. They don't plan on eating hamburger over there. Okay. did I say that? Okay, now when's the banquet?
The banquet is Thursday, April 16th at 5:30 on campus, and we'll have our Simpson Chorale performing, and we will have student testimony all about the service that they do and all the different trips that they've taken and are taking, and we encourage everyone to come out and support our Student Scholarship Fund, which makes up the difference between what financial aid provides and what students have to pay for their education.
That's right. They're paying on going on these missions. Now, how do people get a hold? I mean, where do they buy tickets at?
They can contact our office at 226-4524, or they can go online at simpsonu.edu.
So we're talking about Thursday, April 16th, World Serve Spring Student Scholarship Banquet. It's going to be a great time. And see how much? Oh, they're $40 per ticket or $300 for a table of eight.
Yes.
Okay. And that works Thursday, too. Y'all are big on Thursdays out there. Did you notice that? I mean, it seems to me is that you have a lot of things on Thursdays. Am I just making that up in my head, Roger?
Carl, getting into your head will be a whole other show.
First of all, it's dangerous in here. Don't do this. You know, this is not for children or older people. Okay. April 16th, World Serve, $40 for a ticket. And this is really a great way to help get these teams out there in the world to,
yes,
help other people. The last people that were on were just from Genocide No More, mm-hmm, about saving Darfur and the things that they're trying to do in the world. Where you send your people to are not exactly places like that, but they still do a whole lot of things. Okay, great. Okay, that's the Spring Student Scholarship Banquet. And what do you have now, Roger?
Well, I've got a couple of things. On April 24th, it's a Friday, We will have our annual golf tournament out at Tierra Oaks. About 8 o'clock get started. It's, again, a fundraiser for the university, but primarily to support our athletic teams. We have about 8 teams out there, men and women baseball, men and women basketball, volleyball, cross country, soccer.
And it's nice to see that women's softball supports the men's baseball team by bringing in all the money.
Well, and
okay, here's a disclaimer. Eldon, our intern here from Simpson, plays catcher on the baseball team. He comes in. I can usually tell what kind of weekend they've had. He comes in. His side of his face is all swollen where the ball bounced, took a Tiger Field bounce, hit him in the face, split his face open. Comes in another day. Oh, yeah, we won. Finally. Okay.
They are on an upward trend from last year.
Well, you know, y'all have won like, what, 800% more than last year?
Now I think we've won 12 games, so that's 12 times as much, whatever, 120% right there.
At least that many.
But it's a great opportunity to meet some of our golf team members, our men and women golf team members, have a great day out at Tierra Oaks, helping, again, the athletes.
Sure.
In the athletic program, so we can continue to have that part of the academic world in place. It's a great way for the students to learn teamwork, you know, how to win gracefully, how to lose gracefully, a lot of life skills that you don't maybe not see every day in the classrooms.
Now, the people don't realize is that the Simpson University is in the NAIA.
That is correct.
Which is the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, right. I believe.
Something like that. Those letters work, yes.
Yeah, well, but that's close because that's my university. It was a college first. Then went to university. When I played, it was in the NAIA. So that was a big thing for us back there. It's for smaller universities in this, but it's a top-level competition there. And that Simpson sends people back there. Of course, your softball team, which is nationally ranked.
In fact, went to the World Series last year.
Went to the World Series last year. I mean, and you think about that. How many people go to Simpson?
So we have about 800 traditional undergraduates, and those are typically your athletes.
800. So they go to and they're competing against people of much larger colleges, I believe, don't they? Are they into the kind of the same league type thing?
Our league, we would be, if you were to compare it, say, to the NCAA, we're probably a Division II, maybe plus or minus a little bit.
Okay.
So the schools we compete with don't have tens of thousands of students, but there are larger universities.
Yeah, you've got some that are much larger than Lane Simpson, but you all played at a much higher caliber there at Simpson.
They are. We have some. Our athletes are doing very well. And part of the money that goes to help support our athletes is that we do travel. Our teams do travel to other schools, as you would
just
understand.
Like the regular ones, yeah.
Just like the big boys.
Yeah.
And getting from our baseball team maybe to British Columbia or to Los Angeles, that's quite a journey for the players and the coaches and the equipment. So having a golf tournament like this to help offset some of those costs will continue to allow our students to perform and travel and, in essence, up their game.
Okay, are the different student athletes going to be on – say you bring in a team, I've got my team here I'm bringing in. Am I going to have, like, an athlete as one of my team members? Could I do that? You know, it's like you have your golf team, which would be kind of like your pros coming in, and you do a best ball scramble with thousands of dollars changing hands on side bets?
No, we don't have thousands of dollars changing hands on side bets. But like for the golfers example, you can make a donation of, I believe it's $5, and one of our golf team members will hit your drive. In my case, you know, that saves me a good 3 strokes. So it's a good investment.
No. I want to – when I get 200 yards in, that's what I need. I can take the ball down the field. But when I get close, I say, you know, I have the adept touch in golf, you know, those light, lofty chips that are coming in. I hit them like a gorilla. I mean, I can drive like a gorilla, and I putt like a gorilla. So, I mean, I'd rather use my $5 on other things.
Thanks.
You should be able to pay him $5 to hit any shot you want. Or no, that way you've just got them on all the tees. Okay, hey, for $5 I'll do this. Okay, you should have other people situated close to the green.
So you tell me you don't have that Phil Mickelson touch with your 60-degree wedge?
You know, I play a whole. You know what? I can play a whole round with a 5-iron and a 7-iron, and have done that before. Don't ask me. Okay. Okay. When's this going to be, though, Roger?
This is again. This will be on Friday, the 24th of April.
April. Okay. And how much are tickets for that?
I believe the tickets are 40. Oh, wrong little. I think it's $100 per person and a team of four for 400.
And this is going to be at?
At Tierra Oaks.
Tierra Oaks. And you get with that?
You get a round of golf, a cart. There'll be food, beverages. You know,
prizes.
Prizes. There will be some prizes.
There'll be a beer trolley out there.
I believe not.
Okay,
but
just
I don't.
Wondering.
I don't believe so.
Sometimes you see beer trolleys. That's when you really need to buy the $5 drives.
Yes.
Okay. You know, at Simpson University, y'all have been coming on a regular basis, and the reason we do that is that Simpson wants to be of Reading, not at Reading, but of Reading. And y'all have reached out in so many different ways to help our community. And you're offering so much more. I mean, the way that you've grown that I've seen really since last July when I became associated with y'all in your committee out there, the way y'all have reached out and the way that you've grown, the way that you've changed things out there, one, that you can finish a college degree in 4 years or less.
That's
out
true.
There, how you can finish, you've got some college you can finish via Aspire program. What a great idea that is. How you can, you're working with the Shasta Community College to bring their students in and get them out of there in a couple of years. The way you're changing how your curriculum is to adjust to what's going on out in society today. I mean, these are just great things that Simpson University is doing. And I'm proud to be associated with y'all, and, although I do very little. To see how y'all are changing and how you are gathering and gathering all the ideas and online, classes online and the things that make people aware and how they can get degrees out there, teaching degrees, they're nursing. I mean, my gosh, just built that new building out there with the nursing and the science. I mean, it's fantastic out there.
And we also have our graduation coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of graduations, as you nicely lead in, Carl, we will have our graduation on, this will be Saturday, April 25th. It'll be at 10 o'clock. It will be out on the lawn area by the cross. And our commencement speaker will be Shirley Hoekstra. She got her JD, a Juris Doctorate degree from the Connecticut School of Law. She spent 15 years with Calvin College and is currently the president of the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities. Very accomplished speaker, very knowledgeable on education. And on that Saturday, approximately 160 of our traditional undergraduates were walking to get their baccalaureate degree. And we're going to have 50 of our adult studies students get their degree. And that would be about 3,400 students have graduated from our adult studies since Simpson's been running the past 25 years.
Wow.
And we'll also have 15 students getting their master's degrees. So great. Quite a nice graduation class.
Elton's going to be walking.
Congratulations, Elton.
He'll be graduating there, huh?
Actually, we'll be gone for a baseball game.
But you would be.
I would be graduating, yeah.
Okay.
I would be walking.
Wouldn't you be – you know what? You think you have a much better time walking than playing baseball. All right. A lot of things going on, Roger.
A lot of things. The university has made a lot of strides this year, but we stay focused on our mission, Carl. We want to acquire the students, have them come there, stay there, finish their education, and then help them on their career path, whether that be in a job or onto graduate school.
In a smaller college and university, you have much more of an opportunity to have that special counseling, the one-on-one. I know you're reaching out to your veterans. In there, you're making special programs for veterans and to make their lives easier in all this. Simpson University. Okay, thank you so much. A lot of things going on. Thank you so much, Martha McCoy.
Thank you
for having
us.
That's a cool name, Martha McCoy. And Roger Janis, who is just you're just a veritable tornado going around through through Simpson. You go, wherever Roger sits down, there's a lot of activity, and Roger moves on to something else, and once he fixes that, moves on to something else. Thanks very much for coming in here today.
Well, thank you for having us,
thank
Carl.
You, Carl.
You bet. Hey, our next guest after this break is going to be from the Postal Union talking about moving the sorting station to Sacramento and why that's a bad idea. We'll be right back.
If you take multiple prescriptions, You know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. It could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Redding Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Linda's on spring break. Yeah, spring break. That's cool. And she's out planting and gardening and watering, doing all those things. The time is 7:48 in the morning, 49 degrees out there. It's going to be really a nice day, but not as hot as it has been, up just up in the 70s here. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, with the finest coffee you can get from Espresso Joe's. And then walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with anything, any type of tobacco accoutrement or tobacco plus e-cigs of every shape, flavor you can imagine. And walk into the walk-in humidor, chock full of cigars rated in the high 90s by Cigar Aficionado. All here at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, plus all the great things that Shelly and Joe do for the community. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew. Hey, I'm sitting here with, you know, our first segment, we had Genocide No More, Save Darfur. And then we came in with Simpson University with their graduation and their banquet there for people going out and helping people in the world. That was my second segment. My third segment is here. I'm here with Larry Denaire, who is the treasurer of the American Postal Workers Union right here in town. And we're going to talk about this this great idea the American Postal Service has of taking our sorting station and moving it to Sacramento. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Thanks for having us on.
Well, wait a minute. You need to turn him on and turn that one off. There you go.
Okay, good morning, Carl.
That happens occasionally.
Thanks for having us on.
As you have heard, and a lot of people around town have, that the Postal Service has started this, what they call an area mail processing, which means they do a study to see they want to move one section of the city to another section. In this case, they want to close our mail processing here in Redding and truck it down to West Sacramento, which would be 161 miles away. This is our local mail. See, our outgoing mail, if you're mailing a letter to Chicago, it still goes to Sacramento anyhow.
Right.
And then it's dispersed to wherever it's going. But now it's going to be our local mail. And that's very important because as it stands now, your local mail is still processed here and it'll be delivered the next day. I should take that back. A lot of people aren't aware of January 5th, the Postal Service decided to say this change the service standards, which means there's no overnight delivery in the whole country presently.
Right.
So even in Reading right now, to mail a letter across town is going to take at least 2 days.
Okay. So what does that do? How does that save money?
It does not save money at all. Actually, it's going to increase transportation costs. Because
is this because they're taking it down further away to sort it? Is that the idea?
Yes. And what it's going to do is –
but that happens right now, though. I mean, even if I give you a letter, like say prior on January 1st, if I'd given you a letter, it would have gotten across town the next day.
Correct.
On January 5th, if I'd given you a letter, it was going to take 2 days? But yes, it still stays in town?
It still stays in town because what we have a 24-hour operation. We have a graveyard shift, a swing shift, and a day shift.
Mm-hmm.
So the proposal is – what they did was is they basically took away the graveyard shift and run all the mail on the day shift. So if you put a letter in the mail today, it's not going to be processed till the following day.
What happened to the
day.
Graveyard shift?
They moved everybody back to the day shift. Then they found out when they did that they had to move some people back to the graveyard shift. So our employees have basically been ping pong balls for the last few months.
Okay. So, you know, the Postal Service has been losing, what, billions a year?
Well, I need to reference that also.
Okay.
is because the mainstream press, they keep putting out there that we're bleeding red. Okay.
Right. Well, that's all you hear, really.
Right. But what they don't put out there, and a lot of people get it now, though, because it is getting out there. In 2006, Congress passed the Postal Accountability Enhancement Act, uh-huh. which said the Postal Service had to pre-fund their retirement and benefits plans 75 years in advance for employees not even born yet. And presently, both our retirement systems are overfunded. But then Congress also said, hey, guys, you got to pay that off in 10 years at $5.5 billion a year. So that's where our red's showing up, and the Postal Service has not paid that, I think, for the last 2 or 3 years. So each fiscal year, when it rolls over, it's showing a deficit. What you haven't heard in the mainstream news is that we've been actually making money since 2012. Last fiscal quarter of 2014, the Postal Service made $1.4 billion, and I've been looking everywhere to see where that is in the news.
Well, you just heard it first right here on KCNR, 1460. Well, you know what? That's true. I mean, that's absolutely true, Larry, because everything you read about is, oh, it's always operating in the red. The part about the fact they were having to pay for workers and not even been born yet in advance, that's interesting. Does anybody else have to do that?
No.
Any other government agency have to do that?
No other
any
government
other agency in the United States?
No private. No.
Nothing.
Local city, whatever.
Well, whose idea was that?
Well, it was the lame duck Congress of 2006. And evidently, what we are usually for the government a lot of times, we're the cash cow. You know, because we have a lot of money, and they want to take it from us. And we don't know where that money went, and I'm sure it went somewhere. We don't know. But, you know, it's a crazy idea to pre-fund something 75 years in advance.
You know, okay. So you're saying is that, hey, we've gotten ourselves together here. We made $1 billion last year.
Yes.
And now they want to start closing down. There's 60, it was like 60 of these places?
82 more. They've already 82. Done 141. They had two phases. They've already mm-hmm. closed 141. Reading is on the second phase of the 82. And what's interesting, what a lot of people don't understand is we also have a mail processing plant in Eureka that they're going to shut down and send their mail to Medford, Oregon. And Petaluma, they're going to send down to the Bay Area. So if you look at the map of California, draw a line from Sacramento to San Francisco and go up the Oregon border, you're going to have the whole northern part of California that's not going to have any mail processing centers. And I figured it out. That's roughly 4 million people are not going to have access to fast delivery of mail.
But yet if you live in Sacramento, you can get overnight, right?
No. With the delivery standards, everything's basically
two days.
It's a 2 day.
How many jobs are being lost here, Larry?
Well, no jobs will be lost, okay, because per our contract, they'll be relocated. But that means people still have to leave the area. And that means for us is they have to have a 50-mile radius. and they have to have vacant positions to put these people in. And presently, the Postal Service has no vacant positions to put these people in.
So what happens then?
We don't have a clue. They'll still be on the postal rolls.
Maybe you can be playing golf every day and collecting. I want to know if that's the case, Larry. If you're out playing golf every day because there's no place to put Larry, but they're paying you.
But, Carl?
I want that job.
I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it will either. You know what? Is this a dead horse? Or can you,
well, can you still do something? You know what, Carl?
Because they delayed it, right?
And they pushed it back. This actually started in 2012.
Right.
And they're going forward with a study that's almost 4 years old. They started the study in 2011. It was finalized in 2012. So they're basing this decision still on documents that are almost 4 years old, which still doesn't make any sense. You know, and as far as a done deal, you know, we've gathered over close to 22,000 signatures throughout the seven counties because it affects any zip code that begins with 960 is affected by this.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the overnight mail will be delayed 3 to 5 days.
Well, we're actually saying probably 3 to 7.
All right. Checks, time-sensitive documents will be delayed. What about if I'm going to mail a bill and it's going to my REU account and they need it by, you know, their REU, I don't know, I'm not going to call them Gestapo, but whatever stamps these things. If it's stamped on time, that means we're okay, though. I mean, if it's postmarked.
Well, again, when this change happens, the postmark's not going to happen until it gets to West Sacramento.
But if you mail it on the 5th and it gets taken down there, will it be postmarked the 5th?
We don't know.
That's
the whole question. You don't know if it's going to be postmarked timely.
What about the IRS stuff?
Well,
and it says everything has to be postmarked on by April 15th. So if you're mailing it, you say, on the morning of the 15th thinking you're safe, it may not be postmarked.
That's correct. And that's and the most to me, the most worrisome thing is during elections. Because during an election, you can drop off your ballot here, and if it's postmarked by 8 o'clock, it will still count. So if you drop your ballot in a day before or the day of, your vote will probably be disenfranchised.
Veterans and seniors medications. Well, anybody that's in the mail meds is going to be affected.
You know, and I talked to the regional VA pharmacist a couple years ago, and they were concerned when this is happening because of the time-sensitive medications they have getting to the veterans. So, yeah, it's not going to be a good thing. And the citizens here are all for it. They can't believe it. Usually we hear it doesn't make sense. How stupid are they? And we can't afford to lose any more jobs. And that's why we're pushing forward with this. And we have a current campaign where we want to email the Postmaster General. And you can do that at PMGCEO@USPS.gov. You'll receive a generic response back. But the key is we want to just basically jam her email so she knows the North State citizens don't want this to happen.
That's right. You'll get a generic response back that says your mail has just stopped. Are you having a rally?
Yes, we are. We're having a rally
tomorrow.
Tomorrow from noon to 2 at 2323 Churn Creek, the main post office over here. We're asking the citizens to come out because it's a people's post office.
Well, here's what's going to happen, my friends, is they throw you mail something, and instead of getting it across town like you're paying bills or anything else, it's going to go from here. It's going to go in. They're going to pick it up. They're going to put it in trucks. They're going to truck it down 161 miles to someplace in Sacramento where their automation system is about 20% less efficient than ours is right here.
That's correct.
They're going to sort the mail there. They're going to put it back onto other trucks. So in other words, if I'm going to mail a letter to my friend down the street, you know, like an invitation, I drop it into the mail. He's not going to get it the next day. It's got to go down to Sacramento. It's got to be sorted down there, hopefully. It's going to be put on other trucks, driven 161 miles back up here, put back into the post office. They're going to take that and deliver it three to five, six days later.
That's correct. Crazy, isn't it? You know, and that's the Postal Service mantra is we're supposed to have reliable, prompt, and efficient services. And still,
neither snow nor hail nor gloom of night.
Yes.
Right?
Only the Postal Service is stopping it right now.
All right. Okay. We want show up at the rally tomorrow from 12 to 2 o'clock.
Yes, show your support.
At the Churn Creek post office down there. It's the People's Post Office. Stop delaying the mail, right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
get out correct. There because I can – you know what? I just love it when government does dumb things like this. I mean, I just see it over and over and over again. Oh, it's good. Somebody back there in the bowels of a of a bureaucracy. Oh, why don't we just do this?
Yes.
With no concept. They've never delivered a letter in their lives.
And they still can't give us a straight answer why they want to do it.
Yeah.
Nobody can.
What can I say? Larry, thanks so much for coming in here and joining us today. You know, man, keep us informed on this, Larry, will you?
Sure
so
will.
So that we can keep pushing on this. Larry Denaire from the American Postal Workers Union. We'll be right back after these messages and the news with Senator Maurice Johannesson. We'll just talk to him about this, too. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Although a deadline has come and gone, nuclear talks with Iran continue in Lausanne, Switzerland, with reports of progress is being made. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest.
It also doesn't make sense if we are getting serious engagement from the other side to just abruptly end the talks based on this deadline.
Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the foreign secretaries involved in the talks need to harden their stance.
A better deal would significantly roll back Iran's nuclear infrastructure. A better deal would link the eventual lifting of the restrictions on Iran's nuclear program to a change in Iran's behavior.
Meanwhile, the foreign ministers of China, France, and Russia have left the discussions for now. U.S. construction spending slipped for the second month in February. Here's SRN's Jeremy House.
The Commerce Department says construction spending edged down by 0.1% following a revised 1.7% decline in January. Private spending on construction of single-family homes went down 1.4%, while spending on apartments increased 4.1%. Non-residential construction spending, which includes hotel construction and factory construction, increased 0.5%.
That's SRN's Jeremy House. Arkansas lawmakers have given final approval to a religious freedom bill, as for critics who allege it opens the door to state-sanctioned discrimination against homosexuals, vastly overblown, according to Republican State Representative Bob Ballinger.
You know, it's a law that's already in place in more than half the states. The federal government already has a strict scrutiny standard. The reality is what we're doing here is really not all that remarkable. I do understand that it's kind of taken on a life of its own.
The State House voted yesterday to approve the measure. It now heads to Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson's desk. He has said he will sign it into law. This is SRN News.
100 million viewers experienced the wonder of the epic miniseries, The Bible. Now comes the next chapter, A.D., The Bible Continues, on NBC. Producers Mark Burnett and Roma Downey.
A.D., The Bible Continues, picks up the story at the crucifixion of Jesus.
A.D. 33, the Romans are starting to lose a grip on power.
These disciples take on the Roman Empire.
This is Game of Thrones meets The Bible.
A.D., The Bible Continues, this Sunday on NBC.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was in college, and I used my credit cards as a source of income, and I got into a lot of debt.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The customer service at Trinity is excellent. They take all of your bills and put them all together. It's one single easy payment.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The chairman of the House Oversight Committee is issuing subpoenas for two Secret Service agents who witness other agents driving into a secure area after returning to the White House from a party. More from SRN's Wally Hines.
Jason Chaffetz says the two agents can shed light not only on the incident, but also on what he calls an agency that appears to be, in his words, systemically broken. Secret Service Director Joseph Clancy denied the committee's earlier request to allow four agents to testify, and he appeared before a hearing last week as the sole witness. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson says he regrets what he calls the committee's unprecedented and unnecessary subpoenas.
That's SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. The CEOs of German Wings and its parent company Lufthansa visited the site of last week's plane crash in the French Alps that killed 150 people. Lufthansa's chief executive said today it will take a long, long time to understand what happened, and he refused to say what the airline will change. This is SRN News. The Los Angeles County Coroner says the death of oil heir Andrew Getty appears to be from either natural causes or an accident. Los Angeles Police Commander Andrew Smith gave a press conference yesterday and said somebody in the home alerted authorities. He spoke yesterday afternoon to KNBC TV.
We have a young lady who we believe is the one who called 911. She's been taken by robbery homicide detectives, being interviewed. She's a cooperative witness at this time.
The death of the 47-year-old has been tentatively ruled as an accident as medication was found at the scene. GoDaddy shares jumping in their market debut after the web hosting company, known for racy TV commercials, priced its initial public offering of stock above expectations. Overall, the Scottsdale, Arizona company is offering 23 million shares and hopes to raise up to $460 million in its initial public offering. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. Linda's on spring break this week, well-deserved break she's taking. Of course, she's out there planting everything. She's got tomato plants and she's got flowers and all types of things she's doing around the house, which, you know, her show's tonight. I'm sorry, tomorrow night at the Elements Lounge down at Wind River. If you haven't gotten tickets yet, give them a call. Tell me you want to be with Romance on the River with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. You're going to have a great time. The weather today is going to be nice. It's 50 degrees. I've lost my
weather. We have 48 degrees in Reading at our weather station. We're checking. Good deal of sunshine, high of 69, overnight low around 45. No rain inside and temperatures slowly increasing, but won't be quite as bad as it was last weekend. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Veteran-owned business where their customers are warm friends. You know, they give veteran and senior discounts right there at Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air and over 20 years of service here in the North State. You know, you can't say enough about Martin and his people there. Any type of heating or cooling system, they're there to help. They can fix it, offer guarantees, warranties, offer it all. And they can do it because every one of their people are trained professionally. And they take a superior interest in what's happening in your house. And now it's going to start getting hot here in the next month. It's time to get your cooling systems checked out. Are all of the filters clean? How about the air ducts? Are they put together right? You can save or lose a lot of money by not taking care of your air conditioning systems. Well, Martin and his people can fix that. They can check it for you. If you got an emergency, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day until they get it fixed. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Good morning. Senator Maurice Johannesson is with us today. I've had three different groups of people in here today. Genocide in Darfur. The Simpson University, they're getting a big, you know, they're getting ready to graduate and the things they're doing. And then the postal guys came in here. Postal Union, now they're wanting to move our sorting station down to Sacramento. Somehow that gives us better service.
You trying to tell me you're bringing me in there after that debacle?
Yeah, well, this is how does moving a sorting station, you know, Senator, I mean, you're much wiser than I am. You've been around right here for all these. You've seen all these things. You've been in government. You've been in military. You've done it all. How does moving a sorting station 161 miles down the road where you truck all the mail down there, you sort it in some fashion, and you put it on a truck that comes up 161 miles up this, you know, north again, and then they deliver it. I mean, you're talking something that used to take overnight, but he said that changed. Now it's 2 to 3 days. Could go up to 7 days when you deliver. I mean, if I write you a letter and drop it in the mail to you, Marianne, that means that 6 days later you may get it.
Well, you know, you have to really appreciate the bean counters in Washington, a few other places that come up with these beautiful ideas. And like everything else, they go on for a while, and then all of a sudden they realize, hey, wait a minute, we're making a mistake again. that by that time it may be too late because the Postal Service, from all indications, are on its way down anyway, and there's just so much money that the government could pour into it in order to save it.
Well, they've one of the things, one of our chat room is up on top of all this thing. It says that right now the USPS trailers are too big to unload at the small post offices. It's going to take a few months to get the right size. You know, I just got to love this. You know, I mean, it's, you know, how many times have you, somebody has this, they're sitting in the bowels of this huge building, right? You know, there's no windows because they haven't reached that point. And they come up with this idea. And, you know, somehow it wafts its way to the top. You know, it's kind of like bad body odor. It just kind of wafts its way up. And somebody jumps on it and says, oh, this is a good idea. The person whose idea it is has never once worked in a post office. He's never delivered a, you know, piece of mail. He doesn't, you know, in fact, he doesn't even get mail because his whole life revolves around a computer. Oh, this is a great idea. That's what, you know, I just can't help but think that. How are you doing, sir? You look great.
Thank you. You too. Everything well, fine?
Everything's
no,
all.
No problem. They don't anticipate it. You know, that's.
Yeah. How's the home next to the veterans' home? Where's that at right now?
Well, you know, it is a hard thing to swallow sometimes that it takes so long for getting anything done. And we're pushing in now on the fourth year. We're trying to get all this stuff done. But then, you know, you have to remember that it took 17 years and four governors before we opened the last of the five veteran homes that we put together in California. And it took eight years or better to get the cemetery put together. Of course, by the time we started construction, it only took us about 8 months for the chapel. So you see, where's the difference?
And we know what the difference is.
Yeah.
You have government and you had private enterprise. There's a difference.
Yeah, but the other thing that whenever a new governor take over, and in most cases, there are something like 3,500 different positions that the governor has the authority to fill and so forth. And when you think about that and going through four different governors, you're in today, gone tomorrow, you have a relationship with the people in the Capitol. I still have a relationship with people in the Capitol, but not to the principal. That's
right. It
hard to do. But the staff, as we all say, the staff live on forever. You make sure that the staff is on board, and then we work through that. And interesting enough, it has always been working for me, and a lot of people don't know that even the governor is supporting putting the thing together here in Reading.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They said, well, that's right. You've talked to the governor about this one.
Yeah, I did once. And so, it's just an interesting phenomenon, but you got to learn how to improvise, and you know that. Improvise, change.
Adapt and overcome.
Adapt and overcome. You
there
know
you
that
go.
As a military officer.
Improvise, adapt, and overcome. Yep.
And this is the same case here, because if you assume that the person that you're dealing with is still going to be there when you get down the road, don't. Make sure to build the infrastructure below that person, just like General Shinseki in Washington. We had some relationships there, and they're going in. Well, that went all to turmoil, and now I'm dealing with attorneys, and God help me on that. And so, you know, it changes. You have to anticipate and move in direction.
Well, you know, the big thing, you know, I talk about staff because and we have so many good people working in our area, you know, and work for the government. I mean, you know, I've had nothing but great service from the bureaucracies, and in this case, the bureaucracies is a good word. But the staff is the one you've got to – staff is the one you have to convince in many cases because they will be there after the elected officials move on. Because even if they sweep through and they take, you know, the elected official out and maybe the head of a department, the staff, if they're on your side, will continue to push because they believe in it. And then that's the way they will brief their new bosses.
And this is exactly the way that – I anticipated it would happen about 20 years ago, and they've been working in that direction, which means we're still on track to do something. The only thing is I would just love to be able to go into an office, and I told the governor when I made him down, he said, Senator, what can I do for you? And I said, give me somebody that know what to make a damn decision, pardon the expression. And he just laughed, and he turned around and he handed it to one of his staff and said, make sure that this is done, will you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
I've decision making.
I've briefed on Capitol Hill before, and I've walked in on some classified projects that we were briefing on, and we walk in our class A's with our ties and our coats and all this and our uniforms, and we're briefing the senator staffer. We're not briefing the senator. We're briefing his staffer. Staffer walks in a polo shirt and sits down. And when he walks in, my general stands up. He wasn't my general. He's the one in charge of this thing. And I looked at him because we're all standing up. But he's a guy in a polo shirt. But this guy is extremely powerful because he's like the chief of staff for the senator that was in the Armed Forces Intelligence Committee or the Senate Intelligence Committee. And that's who we briefed. But he was on the staff. And he is, you know, I understand perfectly about that. You need to sell the staff in many cases. And then it can continue to move on no matter who is elected.
Well, you know, we've been working. Yeah. We are unique here in Northern California in a good way. We are unique because you look at the demographics in the state of California, and not only be on the demographic politically, but also demographic with age and with people who retire and so forth. But we have been working very hard over the years, all of us, to maintain the issues of the veterans, to make sure they are taken care of and so forth. But I just have to remember, I have gone through four governors, and each governor can appoint probably somewhere around 3,500 new people every time they change his office. And generally speaking, they not only do it if they're here for 8 years, they do it after the first four-year term. And so you always have these new people, and it is an educational process as well. But you have to have the patience to do it. And what the worst thing we can do, you know, and you and I talked about that years ago, the worst thing you can do is run to Sacramento and tell them what to do. You know, you walk into Sacramento with a hat in hand and says, hey, this is me. You know,
I know it's hard to do sometimes, too. Hey, my guest is Senator Maurice Johannesson, and we're going to take a quick break here. The time is 8:17 in the morning, 50 degrees out there today on April the 1st with Carl and Linda Bott.
Even the commercials are homemade.
This is awesome, Uncle Vince.
Are you ready to make your first Mary's delivery?
Yeah, what are we delivering?
You can order anything off Mary's menu for delivery. So we have spaghetti with meatballs, tortellini, bruschetta, chicken parmigiana, gnocchi.
Shh. Eyes on the road. Hands at 10 and 2.
10 and 2?
Test the horn.
I'm not going to test the horn.
Horn check.
Thanks for testing the horn. It works.
How's the engine temperature?
It's fine.
Maybe I should check on the meatballs in case they're rolling around back there.
No.
This is a pretty nice car. This isn't your car, is it?
Yeah, this is my car.
Really? Huh. Wow, wouldn't have guessed that.
Original recipes. Original Shack. Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS, and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
Simpson University, the Christian University of Northern California, announces its newest degree, the Master of Arts in Organizational Leadership. This distinctive graduate degree offers a unique concentration in nonprofit management and prepares graduates to function as highly skilled ethical leaders in a wide spectrum of organizations. We'd like to share more about our unique programs for developing the leadership skills in demand today. Speak with an enrollment professional now. Call us at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu/lead.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Turtle Bay's third West Coast Biennial Juried Art Exhibition is now open at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. This year's juror, Bonnie Lang Malcolmson from the Portland Art Museum, has selected the pieces for the exhibition. With works in many media, competing artists from California, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska, the West Coast Biennial Juried Art Exhibition is a show you won't want to miss. The exhibition features works from some of the North State and Reading local artists, as well as many other great artists. For the park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:22 in the morning. What a beautiful day this is. 50 degrees out there. It's going to be a wonderful day. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, with a full selection of both pistols and long guns, rifles, shotguns. They have it all there, along with the ammo that you've been searching for everywhere. Well, Bastiani Arms has it. And why? Because John Bastiani, the owner of the store, believes in customer service, spends all hours at night and in the morning finding great deals on weapons and on ammo. And he prides himself on customer service, as do all of his employees there, and about having what the customer wants in stock and at fair prices. All is at Bastiani Arms. Give him a call at 222-8222. John Bastiani, Bastiani Arms. My guest is Senator Maurice Johannesson, and who is a living legend here in Northern California. I like to say that, you know, living legend. You know, let's talk about what's happening up at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery at Igo. The cemetery was, you know, by you, led by you and several others, by getting a cemetery there, which was, you know, just outstanding. Along with the other things that you've had your fingers into over the years, but yeah. Now we had a new group come up there in the last few weeks, and the first thing they said was, "Well, your memorials, you're going to have to move those memorials." They floated that idea. The ones that are up there at Igo, that are around the circle, the driveway circle, the Special Forces, Korean War, Purple Hearts, submariners, you know, the ones like that. And their plans for – and saying that you're going to have to move those. Well, and not only that, but we're going to – these are just not allowed here, and you didn't get permission. And, by the way, your cemetery, your monument, committee, we're disbanding that because it wasn't done right. All at one time.
Yeah. Well,
it caused a lot of consternation up here.
It does. But here again, this harkens back to what I just said. We had to change this – operational changes and new people coming in, and we have to remember that the cemetery up there that we put together up there is actually the first and only Monterey becoming online, hopefully, is the first one that we have built in the state of California. And we followed pretty – I think Steve Jurgensen, I love the guy. He did a wonderful job.
Steve did a great job.
But he couldn't handle more of this stuff either. So but anyway, he put all this thing in place, and he pretty well followed the guidelines of the federal, because that's only the really thing we can look at right now is the federal. Well, started as a – actually, everything that he did, I know for a fact, because I was Sacramento sometimes working on that stuff, that they knew, the old administration really knew all about what we were doing.
Yeah, they sent down all the plans. They sent them down multiple times.
Yeah, it wasn't that. And whether or not the committee was formally adopted by the state, we don't have – we have a lot of committees not formed – by this approved by the state, then they shouldn't have to be. We are there to aid and assist.
That's
and
right.
Talk about this thing about, you know, control somehow got out of shape. Now, what happened basically was that the new administration basically took over, and they were hadn't paid much attention to the cemetery itself until they got big rhubarb on something that should never happen about where you should place the memorials. And so everybody knew they were sitting where they are now, and the only thing they wanted to make sure, and I talked about it, the only thing they wanted to make sure was that we did not infringe on top of the hill there where we had the flag and the meetings and all the rest of the stuff.
Sure.
Memorials had to be uniform size and all the rest of the stuff all the way around. And it was pretty much followed. And Steve, you know, Jordan, he was pretty much right on line with all this stuff.
Yeah.
But then once that happened, then someone went down to Sacramento and tried to pull the weight around and a few other things. And so he ticked off more people than he should have. And so then this was brought to the front, and the saying was, well, rather than continue what he's doing, let's make a formal plan on how we should do this in the future. There was never any doubt that in no circumstance would be the existing memorials around there taken away. But what they wanted to do is find a place over there in the future that can put some of the major stuff. And because a lot of this stuff, you know, 20 feet tall, you couldn't do anymore. You know, a few of these kind of stuff, you know, couldn't do that.
So yeah, they're reducing the size and scope of some of the memorials they have planned, right?
Yeah, but they wouldn't probably be the same sizes and stuff that we already have doing.
Right.
But they wanted to go in Section 8. Sounds familiar. Section 8.
Laughing. Okay. The reason everybody's laughing is because Section 8 is where, you know, that has to do in the military Uniform Code of Military Justice with crazy people.
Exactly.
Section 8. So, you know, this guy's got a Section 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was Section 8 of the cemetery, which is up next to Farm Road and more or less across the parking lot from the chapel. And they want to develop that into an area that all of these things could happen. So memorials around it, they could have been very beautifully done and so forth. And the reason I think more than anything that shows that area, number one, it is closer to road, dirt road really there is right now.
That's the dirt road that comes up off of off Gas Line.
But
you take a left on the outside of the cemetery, outside the fence, and you go up there and park a lot of times when it's really full.
But what people don't realize is that the cemetery includes the property across from there.
Okay.
And sooner or later that farm road is going to be changed over and go further south.
Okay, and that's going to become part of the cemetery, too.
That's whole then become part of the cemetery. People don't understand that cemetery was designed and can accommodate up to 74,000 burials. And it's big. This is going to be a big cemetery in the future, long time before the old farmer likes us to go, but it's going to be big.
But doesn't that take, when they put this new memorial group over there, doesn't that take spots for burying people, as opposed to just if you don't like a 20-foot memorial, so make it 10 feet or whatever it is, and just keep it, just make it where it's at right now. I mean,
well,
you've already got a flag, you've already got you've already got space there for
them. Here's the difficulty: when you look at the property from the air, you have the chapel and a little hut deal up on there, and you go a farm road on one side, and then you go up with the entrance is from the side road. That is like a no man's land right in there that really is best suited for something like this, according to them, and I'm no doubt that. And because we're going to be moving further away, and the idea being that we take the least desirable area, if you will, of anything, and possibly use that, and then save the other areas as we go and fill them up. There could be different kind of burial situation. It could be anything. But right there, that was the choice they wanted to do because it was it basically surrounded by a parking lot and two roads sitting in the corner there. So that, I'm assuming this is what they wanted
to
do.
Yeah, you know,
But I can't look in their minds, let me tell you.
Well, I know. But here's another thing, too, is that I think what irritated me a lot on this was that the Record Searchlight's editorial was, you know, it came down so hard on the side of the bureaucracy and said, you guys should have been reading the fine print. I mean, this fine committee that's worked so hard up there, and like you said, they got ahead of change or something up there, and then all of a sudden somebody wakes up and says, oh, wait a minute. You know, you guys haven't done this right, even though it's been 10 years and they've gotten all the paperwork, and Steve's a very meticulous guy.
Yeah.
You know, they have something like that. And I just wholeheartedly agree with you, Senator, in the sense that we have great people up here working on this. They give their time, their efforts, their lives, just like you have, to honor our veterans. And they're not going to do anything to besmirch our veterans or our memory of our veterans. And yet that's what it appears that, oh, you guys can't be trusted up here. That's the part that kind of bothers me.
Yeah. Well, the perfect storm was, one, there was a change of administration, which is different now.
Mm-hmm.
Two was that the Veterans Cemetery like this in California has never been there.
Yeah.
And three was that perhaps that we overreacted a little bit on some of the stuff. And
Reading overreact?
No. So, you know, it's almost like a perfect storm. But Everything is pretty calm now, and I think that I think that you'll find that the response and everything from the Veteran Administration is going to be somewhat different.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to get Mr. Boland on, who's the guy that heads this up, that was the center of the storm here. Try and get him on the show and just say, hey, you know what, tell us what you're really thinking from down there, because it, you know, up here there is a tempest going on here, and you know, things are calming down, especially since they don't have to move the existing monuments, but there's still a lot of questions. And what exactly are you guys thinking of? And I want to have him on just to tell us that. Of course, be treated respectfully, as we always do. Our guest is Senator Maurice Yohannes, and we're going to take a quick break here. The time is 8:31 in the morning, 50 degrees out there. It's going to be a really beautiful day. If you have a question for the Senator, 605-4567, hop in our chat room on KCNR1460.com. Boop.
Whatever you're cooking smells good, Ma. Where's Dad?
Left step.
Nice heels, Dad. What are you doing?
I'm practicing for the walk a mile in her shoes.
What is that?
Every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is sexually assaulted. It's time for men like us to say no more. The walk a mile in her shoes is a call to men to educate and engage our community about a very serious subject to take action in preventing sexualized violence.
What can I do to help?
Every man should join us on Saturday, May 9th at 10 a.m. for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes to benefit One Safe Place. Do like I did, son. Get a bunch of your friends together and visit the One Safe Place website at ospshasta.org and register for the walk. And here, I happen to have another pair of heels.
Left step, right step.
You guys make me so proud.
Please join the Walk a Mile chairman, Joe Comenti, and his family for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event Saturday, May 9th in downtown Reading.
Shelly is grateful for birthdays and girlfriends. Her friend Laura encouraged her to get a mammogram on her birthday at MD Imaging's Women's Imaging Center. The Women's Imaging Center's devotion to women's health and quality images makes MD Imaging the right choice. Now, Shelly visits MD Imaging every year on her birthday. From our new 3D mammography screening to ultrasound, breast MRIs to biopsies, MD Imaging is defining what's next.
Hey, it's Ernie and Dave with a major announcement.
Swap and Sell has moved.
Entertainment for the whole family.
Right. Swap and Sell has moved to 8 to 9 every Saturday morning right here on KCNR.
We talk about yard sales, garage sales, or if you're having a non-commercial fundraiser, join us 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Saturday.
We're here. That's Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave right here on KCNR 1460 AM radio.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane.
My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
One more time. One more time.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Wednesday, 8:35 in the morning on April the 1st. Here's a good chance to, go into your boss today and play a trick. Of course, remembering that the big term there is boss. And you play a trick the Senator Marisha Hennison, who is my guest today, and we're honored to have him here. We know who our bosses are, and we try not to play tricks on Marianne or Linda because it comes back on us.
Big time.
Big time.
Big time.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue across from the subway right there. Man's last stronghold, Cypress Square Barbershop. Great haircuts, discounts for seniors and veterans. It's the Cheers of barbershops. Is this where you go, my friend? Oh, it's time. Senator, head on down to Cypress Square Barbershop. You will love it down there. Everybody does. Senator Marisha Hennison is my guest today, and we've been talking about the brouhaha that was up at the cemetery, and you've answered those questions, and the whole thing is we're going to try and get Mr. Boland on, like I said, from the guy that's at the center of this, and we want to find out from him, hey, what is your intentions? What's going on up here? Just so we get an idea from there, because you're getting, you've brought up, a different sense than what's been, portrayed from other areas there. Senator, usually I don't spend a lot of time waxing eloquently about the good job that Barack Obama has done in our country.
Really?
I know it's hard to believe. But there are things that this man has done that I believe are helping our country. One of the things he did for veterans was hiring veterans to go into government jobs at a very high rate here. I mean, we're talking 45% of the new hires going into government jobs, federal jobs, are veterans. Mm-hmm. It's causing a backlash, it appears. I've read an article, there's a backlash going on between the new workers coming on and the other workers there. Because the military coming in with their mindset, former military coming in with their mindset, and government workers with their mindset, it said that the camaraderie of the government or the military coming in, and the mindset of the feds that are there already is that they don't know what we know and they're getting hired. But you have any thoughts about this at all?
Well, that is, generally speaking, and that's very generally speaking, when I was a Secretary of Veteran Affairs, we had about 2,000 employees. I get 3 home, 2 clinics. We built the 5 new homes and all that stuff. There was always a question about equality of races and, men, women, whatever you had, the
sure.
Green, yellow, blue, or whatever. And I always appreciated the fact that they felt neglected. And my answer always was, send me someone that can be capable of doing the job that I'm looking for them to do. I don't care who or what they are. I will hire them. But I never heard much from any of these various groups and stuff in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one thing that you do, and this is a personal thing with me, okay? I like to see hiring military. I like to see them do that because they're trained, they're disciplined, they're not very generally speaking, they're not. They're good people. They understand the system.
They understand systems working within a teamwork.
That is right.
Of achieving things, being in places on time, exactly. And being responsible for their actions.
That's right. And I like that. And I think that the, of course, from the political side of this is, it happened in a time where some people needed perhaps a little bit more push acceptance, mm-hmm. if you will.
Right.
So it did with the military. But I still think that the... I look for, when I do things, I look for, we have a rule that said basically 5% should be not merely veterans. 5% should have a priority. I like to see that go up to maybe 10, 15. And the reason I do that is because I need people I can depend on and people that you can trust.
You know, and that's true, you know, Senator. And, you know, and with the unemployment rate today of our veterans returning home from war at this well, the war that's not over yet, it looks like it's starting to spring back again, is close to 20%. Yeah. I mean, 20% or probably higher for our young veterans and older veterans coming home. I you know, and the fact is that they have proven themselves. They have been able to do it. But yet a 20% unemployment rate is really unacceptable. Let's go to the phones. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. And, Senator, thank you so much for everything that you have done for the community and the veterans.
Oh, thank you.
This regulations or violation of regulations or repositioning the memorial and such, is that state or is that federal?
No, that this particular cemetery is the first and only cemetery in the state of California.
Okay, I understand that. So who's making the waves that you have something off a quarter of an inch or whatever it is out there?
Well, hopefully they're not going to micromanage to the point, that crazy point, but it's Veteran Administration in Sacramento are the ones that is in charge of it, and that they are the ones making a decision, not the federal.
His name is Mr. Boylan, B-O-Y-L-A-N. Is the one that is in charge of this.
Okay. I was thinking maybe there'd be another good reason for the state of Jefferson so we could have local control in the North State rather than kowtowing to somebody else.
Well, that would be a reason. There's a...
One of many.
You're right. That would come under the... The new state of Jefferson, and they could have rules where you trust, where you actually trust your citizens of your state to actually do the right thing. So,
right.
So thanks a lot, Gary.
One more reason.
Yep.
Okay,
thanks,
I'll let you go. Thank you very much for your program. Take care.
You bet. Thanks
Take
a lot,
care.
Gary.
Bye bye now.
Hiring of veterans is just a to me it's a no brainer, and I would like to see both the city and the county bump that up to 10 points. I think they give them a few points, and so that they do hire more veterans in this in our city and county. We have it's a decent wage. It's a I think it would work. The sheriff's looking for deputies right now, and you've got all these young Marines and sailors and airmen coming out that are drug free, don't have money problems, have been in the service, have been in combat, that they could probably pick up there looking at least.
A lot of them have a military career, military police.
Yeah. What do you see? What's going to be happening here? And we've got a new city council. There's talking. I saw where the Chamber of Commerce is talking about the 1% sales tax into the general fund so we can hire police, and that's a lot of money. If it's 1%, it'd be like $20 million a year. So I'm not sure where the money's going to go. Is money just money the answer, Senator?
No, that's the short answer. No, it isn't. Underneath the carpet is a lot of things that needs to be done, and so far I haven't seen any really effort to trying to do that. It is a touchy issue that has to do with unionization. It has to do with the future of the city. How do you deal with that? It has to do with how do you plan the city? What is the decision you're going to make? For example, we're talking about a toll big new tall courthouse building going to be built. And you remember, may remember that they wanted to build some of the bigger stuff across the river, but they said no.
Mm-hmm.
Any large building is going to have to be built downtown. Well, there is an infrastructure problem to be built into these big things too. And so it is a decision, but I think that if dialogue need to be made between the council members, and quite frankly, I hate to see any government agencies going off the reservation and starting an attack or going around trying to find issues in order to slam somebody else and all that. I don't like that.
Are you seeing that? At the council level?
Well, of course.
They're reaching for things to, is it kind of some kind of payback or something? This new council was elected so that because they could all work together. Is that, I mean, and support the community.
Hopefully that is what's going to happen now. So far, you know, it's a little bit absent a little bit, but it takes a little time before they can get together and do this. And I think, like we used to do in the old days, both on the council and on the supervisor, we used to have discussions, but we used to do it in the open. We said, okay, let's take a couple hours down at City Hall. We are up there on the dais because we do it legally.
Yeah.
We notice it, and then just hack out, not for the purposes of the having people from the audience coming there and spill the spleen, so to speak. Not that. But you can sit up there and you can argue among yourself with impunity. Argue about what is it that we can do together to get this going. And do it in the open.
Let the people hear it.
Let the people hear it. What's wrong with that?
I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see that happening here in this city council.
Well, I hope it
isn't
can.
And it's strange, too, because they all ran on openness and transparency and all these other things and supporting the people. And yet everything they've been voting on lately has been to, remove public comment, do away with the commission, put down business organizations. I'm hoping that they're just kind of feeling their way around right now.
I hope you're right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest, Senator Maurice Johannesson, talking about – I want to come back. I want to get his vision for the future here in Redding and Shasta County and what he sees can happen here in our great community. We'll be right back.
Live at the Cascade Theatre. Join Peter, Wendy, Michael and John in the high-flying, timeless Broadway musical that will whisk you away to a place where dreams are born and no one ever grows up. A perfect family show for the child in all of us. Peter Pan will have you soaring high on a wild adventure to Neverland. Come fly with us to the Cascade Theatre and experience this classic tale, Peter Pan. Purchase tickets now at 243-8877 or online at cascadetheatre.org.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Shelley is grateful for birthdays and girlfriends. Her friend Laura encouraged her to get a mammogram on her birthday at MD Imaging's Women's Imaging Center. The Women's Imaging Center's devotion to women's health and quality images makes MD Imaging the right choice. Now, Shelley visits MD Imaging every year on her birthday. From our new 3D mammography screening to ultrasound, breast MRIs to biopsies, MD Imaging is defining what's next.
Nelson's Peak Performance is our gym of choice. There is nothing better than to feel in shape, and that can make you feel on top of the world. Adamson's Peak Performance. No gimmicks, no games, no hypes. Make workouts fun at Adamson's Peak Performance, located at 3050 C Street. Give them a call at 221-8006 for their March special. That's Adamson's Peak Performance.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 a.m.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. Linda, of course, is on spring break, but tomorrow night at Wind River. Head on out there from 7 to 9. Lady Bott and the Bluebirds are going to have a great time out there. Come join us. Superfood out there. And come on, you know, get there around 6 and have dinner and then join us for dancing and great music out at Wind River, out at the Elements Lounge. And, you know, 70% of Wind River is non-smoking. And the Elements Lounge is non-smoking. Give them a call at 243-3377. My guest is Senator Maurice Johannesson, and it's always great to have you here, sir. We got about 10 minutes left here. What do you see that's going to be happening here in the North State and Reading? Is the economy turning around, or are we going to be building some things? I'm seeing indicators that maybe things are starting to get better. Seeing that?
You know, I lived there now, I get about, a long time, over half a century for sure. So the point is that I had a chance to look at it from the beginning, basically, not from the beginning, but see it, how it developed and so forth. I was told more than one occasion that I'm a futurist. It says you overthink about things 25, 30, 40 years ahead. Which is what I did in the downtown, what I did with other areas. But you have to remember the past, and you have to look at the past and see what's been done and what's been tried and so forth. You know, you got to learn from the past or you're going to repeat it. And the other thing is that I think that the control of the infrastructures is going to be extremely important, because that's going to be, beside from the retirements and all this stuff we're dealing with, the infrastructures is going to have to be put in place by doing these large-scale things, including like the judge's new building. But if you take, and I'm partial to this because I love the Reading, I love the area, and if you ever wanted to see something that's a jewel, get up in the air, spend a few bucks, get in a helicopter, do something, fly up there a little bit and take a look down. And you can see where the development more than likely is going to happen. And so when you do thinking about terms like that, then what kind of infrastructures need to be built in order to accommodate these areas? And I mean, we have a potential up here that is next to none. I mean, Stillwater aside was a little outdated before it started. But the point is, it's not a manufacturing system anymore like this, like right. We used to have. Uh-huh. And I think that when you look at the area here, you find yourself more than ever is a beautiful area. You can go from here to the coast, to the mountains, to anywhere, to San Francisco in a hurry, although I don't recommend anybody going down there. But, you know, all the rest of the stuff. But, no, I think the future of Reading is wonderful. But let's get away from confrontational and get involved in nitty-gritty fights and things like that,
yeah.
Which has more to do with egos, I think, than anything else. And let's get away from that, because for us to cooperate and getting together to build this area now is vital for us. And I can tell you, I can close my eyes, I can see 20 years ahead from now. I won't be here, I don't think. But 20 years from now,
you don't
but I
that.
Can see basically where the route's going to be to do some of this stuff.
You know, and the thing is there's a great deal of there's a great deal of good things in the future right here in Reading. We've had people on that have talked and said Dan Morrill was on last week. And he is one of those people that is a believes in technology, and he talked about people in Reading put their eyes on the ground, and we need to keep our eyes on the horizon.
Yes,
and I know that sounds trite, but he said, you know, but there are things that people don't know, like 20 patents a year, 2013, 20 patents 2014 came to Reading. To people in Reading, for this year, we've already had several patents already this year, and so what he's saying is that there's a lot of international companies here. There's a lot of great things that can happen right here in Reading, which is what you're looking at, you know. And maybe that is being a futurist, but you know, when you're planning something out here, when you see how things can move forward, you know, what do we have to do to change maybe the education system so that we have people trained to do these things, that we may not be the software company that's down in Silicon Valley, but why can't we be an offshoot up here that hires a couple hundred people to handle a certain part of that?
You can.
You can. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the big companies and so forth, they're looking for areas that have services and where people want to live. And obviously, we don't have the support services yet to the point where some of the big companies moving up here. But it can be, like you said, it could be satellites of some of these companies, because they do. I mean, they work out of their houses now. You know, I mean, the whole dynamic on how you hire employees and how you serve employees, and so it's a whole new dynamic. And you got to look away from the old manufacturing. You got to look away from the old industries that went away with the oil kings and the railroads and the rest of. But this is different. It's a difference. You got to look ahead. Look ahead.
You know that you can have an industry that generates millions of dollars out of something about the size of a storefront with today's technology here.
That is
and
correct.
People working, and you know, and the I'm hoping that this incubator that they're talking about building an incubator here in town where you have all these, you know, put all these businesses, these new businesses in one spot with mentors and all this, something that we've been talking about here on KCNR for 5 years, is to say we need a place we can put, just bring businesses and people, young people with great ideas, and put them all in one spot. I don't mind my tax money going to pay for the electricity for these people or the rent for these people if they're coming up with good ideas. You know, they compete. And say, okay, we're going to come to Reading. We're going to provide you this and this and this and mentoring and somebody that's going to tell you if your ideas are any good, and do that. I don't mind paying rent. I don't mind paying electricity for things like that if it's truly something that could really help our community.
If the money, and we were talking about raising taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Generally speaking, I'm not much raising taxes. I'd rather cut a little out of the government. But to come to a point where you sort of got to bite the bullet – mm-hmm. and decide what to do with it. But then now depends to a large extent, in my most humble opinion, is that the city council now have a responsibility to set priorities if they want to have this new tax put in place, general tax. Then they need to clearly identify and set out a priority that people's going to have to hold them to, not this – just put it in the general fund and let it float.
That can never work. And if you go to a general – if it's just a general election, that money then goes to a general fund. So there's got to be another amendment that goes with it that says, oh, this is how much of it's got to go to fighting crime. But again, that's only as good as the people on the city council.
Exactly.
They can declare a financial emergency and spend it anywhere they want.
Well,
I mean, really.
That's
what once you give them that permission to do that, how's it working in Anderson? It seems to be working okay in Anderson. They did that and they hired three policemen in this. So
I'm sort of proud of Anderson, by the way.
Anderson,
they're operating and the way they have done laid it out in the future and decided where things was going to happen. They did it and they're working on it and they took care of controversies.
New businesses going in there.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, Anderson is looking forward, and then I like the way Anderson does some things. You know, when it comes to getting in a vehicle, they buy a used vehicle, which saves them money to do that.
Yeah.
And part-time guys of course, Anderson's a lot smaller. But what's okay? We got. Well, you know what? We only have 2 minutes. It's not even fair to ask this question. What do you think is the biggest concern facing us in the next year?
I think that the biggest concern we have is the infrastructures that we need, the direction we go with our city as far as the power, water, and all the rest of the stuff. That is going to be really going to work on.
Okay. All right. Senator Marisha Hennison, thank you so much for being here, Senator. I've yet to ever ask you a question that you didn't have the answer for, and in the background to explain where you got that answer from. Thank you so much, and thank you for so much you've done for our community and our veterans.
Thank you for what you're doing. You're one of the lights we got going around here.
Hey, tomorrow, it's the 2nd of April, the first Thursday of the month, and it's Clark and Clark on. Trish Clark and Sharon Clark are taking over the show tomorrow. I don't even know who they have on. It'll be a surprise. But I'll be back Friday with Bruce Dean, who heads up Black Bear Diner and also heads up the Restaurant Association of California. Big job there. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson talking about his state's version of a religious freedom bill, legislation he has yet to sign. The governor says he's ordered some changes be made to the current proposal.
Arkansas wants to be a place of tolerance. We want to be a place that has the right balance between religious protections and religious freedom and non-discrimination.
Indiana's new religious freedom law, which is on the books, has generated a storm of controversy, but Crystal O'Connor says that law protects restaurant owners like her.
If a gay couple was to come in, like say they wanted us to provide them pizzas for a wedding, we would have to say no.
She tells WBND-TV South Bend, this is not about discrimination.
It's just that's our belief, and everybody has the right to believe anything.
At Governor Mike Pence's direction, Indiana lawmakers...